Okay, let me open with a word of prayer.
Father in heaven, give me thanks for who you are, your holiness, your justice, your mercy, just who you are. Father, as we open your word today, I just pray would see truth from your perspective. Help us to learn more about you, then apply it to our lives. And Father, we'll be giving you all the praise and the glory, for it's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. Okay. We are in week number 9. The title of week number 9 is The Angel of the Covenant. And last week we spent time looking at how angels interacted with men and women in the Old Testament. Next week we'll be looking at that interaction in the New Testament. But this week we're looking at the Angel of the Covenant, which is a mystery. So we're going to investigate a mystery this morning. This angel is named either as the Angel of the Covenant or the Angel of the Lord. The two terms are synonymous. And we need to begin by asking a question. And the question is very simply. Simple. Just who is this angel of the Lord or the angel of the covenant? That's the question we're going to be looking at. And obviously, the best place to get this answer is from Scripture. And turn with me to start seeing this. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1. And Malachi, if you're looking for it, he's a prophet, Old Testament. He's the last book of the Old Testament. So if you can find Matthew, go towards the front, one book. Let me read you verse 1, and I'm going to read you this.
What chapter?
Chapter 3. I'm going to read you verse 1, and I'm going to read this from the ESV. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. You look at this verse real close. We see that there are two messengers spoken of. Most fundamental conservative Bible scholars believe the first messenger mentioned refers to John the Baptist. We're going to spend some time looking at the second messenger he refers to. But Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament between Malachi and Matthew, but toward John the Baptist, it, to me, explodes on the scene. Anybody know how many years of silence there is from God to the Jews?
400.
What was that again?
400.
400 years. God has not sent a prophet. The Jews have had no word from God. In fact, I got a note in mind about that. Just as an interesting note. Where did I put the note? If you look at Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, would somebody find that passage? Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Well, let me read, since I found it real quick. I'm going to read this to you from the King James. Verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Verse 12 echoes some of that. I believe what Amos is saying is referring to the time between Malachi and John the Baptist, these 400 years where there's no word from God. That's as an aside. Okay, the second messenger in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. He's referred to the messenger of the covenant in the ESV. Remember, we said at the beginning that the word messenger in Scripture was another term for angel. So you could easily say this phrase, messenger of the covenant, could also be the angel of the covenant. A lot of fundamental scholars believe what Charles Ryrie has said in his study Bible, quote, the Lord and the messenger of the new covenant, Matthew 26:28, is Jesus Christ. So we're going to be looking at that. Other commentators give us an idea, some clue, that this title, Messenger of the Covenant, is a messianic title, which means it refers to the Messiah, the one who's going to establish a new covenant between Jehovah God and the Jews. And we see that over in Jeremiah chapter 31. God says in Jeremiah, he's going to establish a new covenant with his people. So we start to see this. Again, go back to the question we now have is, does Jesus Christ in physical form appear in the Old Testament? Does Jesus Christ appear in physical form before he was born? Try to wrap your head around that. That's a question we're going to be looking at. And we're going to start looking at something. If you've got your study guide, if you don't, there's some questions we're going to be looking at. Oh, there they are. Who needs copies of the question? First one we're going to look at is over in Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. So take a few minutes, read verses 7 to 14. Genesis 16, verses 7 to 14.
For
Rick, is that paper the same that's in the booklet?
Yes, okay. Yes. If you don't have the study guide,
it's just in our booklet.
It's the same one.
I don't want to write it again.
Did you fill somebody?
Yeah.
Well, she can have a study guide too.
Both of ours are at home.
Okay, the passage we're looking at opens with who? The angel of the Lord. What happens in these verses? What happens?
Where she's gone, where she's come from, and where she's going. She explains that she's run away from her mistress, Sarah. And he said, go back and submit yourself to her authority.
And? There's always an and.
Then he says, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they shall be too many to count.
What's the key part right there?
I.
The I. That's a clue to us that this isn't just an ordinary angel. That's the clue. It's a big clue. Okay. Let's move over to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Now we have Moses. I'm going to deliver the mail. Okay, this passage here opens with Moses. What's he doing? What's he doing? He's sitting around twiddling his thumbs, right?
He was tending the flock.
He's tending the sheep of his father-in-law. What happens? Angel of the Lord appears. How does he appear, though? You all know the story.
In the flames.
In what?
In the flames.
In the burning bush. And Moses says, whoa, look at this. This bush is burning like mad, but it's not being consumed. And he hears a voice. What does the voice say? What does the voice say there in verse 6?
Calls him by name.
Calls him by name.
Pick off your sandals.
How does the angel of the Lord identify himself?
Here I am.
The NASB says, he said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Another clue as to who this angel of the Lord is. Let's go back to Genesis now. Genesis 18. Genesis 18, verses 10 through 15. I think if you read the couple of verses before the ones I put down there, you see that there's angels that appear. What happens here? What happens here? Here's Abraham. This angel says to him, what?
Well, there's three men. All right, there's not just one in this
there's
case.
There's
three men. Right? Abraham goes in, cooks a meal, comes back out, and these three men ask about where his wife is. And then the verse 10 says, the Lord said.
What's inferred from that? What do I believe we can infer from that? I believe we can infer that one of those three is who I would call the angel of the covenant or the angel of the Lord.
Verse 1 says, now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre.
And what's he told? What's he told?
He said, I will return in a
year. I will return in 1 year, and what?
And Sarah will have a child.
Yeah, you're going to be a dad. He's 100 years old. Sarah's 90. In fact, she does what?
She laughs.
You gotta be kidding me. She cried, huh? I'm gonna skip the next one. We've looked at that more than once. I think we even looked at it last week. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 32. Now we go to Jacob. Who is Abraham's what?
Son.
Jacob is Abraham's what? Grandson. I don't ask hard questions. And he's his grandson. Okay, what happens in this passage of scripture? Jacob's here, got his two wives, his entourage, wife, kids, servants. Nighttime comes. What happens? What happens? This man appears.
So the man wrestled with Jacob.
And he wrestles with Jacob. And they wrestle, and they wrestle, and they wrestle. Jacob can't win. What does Jacob ask? He asks a couple of questions. Says, I'm not going to give up until what?
You bless me.
You bless me. And this person he's been wrestling with says, what's your name? Jacob. This man says what? Not anymore. You're going to be named what?
Israel.
Israel. Jacob asks this person his name. Does he get an answer? Does he get an answer? Does he get an answer?
No.
No. No. But what does Jacob say there in verse 30? I have seen the Lord face to face. Now, we're told over in Hosea chapter 12, verses 3 to 5, that Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, that he wrestled with God. So we're not stretching it from Genesis, but we're told in another place of Scripture who he wrestled with. Let's look at one more, at least one more. Joshua, chapter 5, verses 13, 14, and 15. Okay, here we are with Joshua. Moses is now dead. Joshua is the one who's leading the Israelites. Joshua's command, what he was told, he was going to conquer the land. Who comes across Joshua's path? Who does he meet? Who does he meet?
Commander of the army of the Lord.
And how does this captain of the Lord's host appear?
With a drawn sword.
Yeah, he's got a drawn sword. He's ready to fight. He's ready to go at it. What does Joshua do? And this is important. What's his reaction? Bernie.
You know, when you think about it, that's kind of a gutsy move, because Joshua doesn't know who this guy is. So instead of asking questions, this guy could have started swinging, you know. Just because it says he's facing him, you know, so he must have been pretty close to him. So.
And he falls flat on the ground.
Yeah.
And that is a gutsy move. You know, he doesn't draw his sword. He's down on the ground.
Says the place where you stand is holy, and we have seen that in one other passage.
And look what else he said. Look what he says. So he says, and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" What's he told to do? Take your shoes off. Take your sandals off. The place you are standing is holy.
And he fell down on his face and you know, he bowed down before him, and he doesn't tell him not to do that. Angels will say, don't do that.
Sherry, we're going to come right to that point in just a few seconds. But that's a good point. But before we get there, who else heard words similar to what Joshua heard?
Moses.
Moses heard almost the same words. Do you think that Joshua knew that Moses had heard words like that? I think so. I think all the Israelites knew what happened with Moses at the burning bush. So here's Joshua. It's the same thing that Moses experienced. Joshua falls down. He worships this guy. And like Shri says, he is not rebuked. Every place in Scripture that I have seen where a person bows down and worships an angel, they are rebuked. You don't do that, the angel will say. You don't worship me. I think that's important for us to see here. He does not rebuke Joshua. I'm going to let you do the next couple on your own. We've touched on those in the past. Before we go on, do you have any thoughts, any comments before we continue?
I know this doesn't have too much to do with this, but I just love the response of the angel when Joshua asks, "Are you for us or are you against us?"
And he says, "What?"
He says, "No." He's helping put perspective whose side he's on and whose side Joshua should be on. He's like, "I'm on the Lord's side."
So yeah.
I I just love that part.
Okay, the question I posed, Sherry, did I see your hand? Got to watch that. You know, it's like an auction. You moved the wrong way. You bought it. Okay. Question I asked earlier. Does Jesus Christ in physical form appear in the Old Testament? Turn over to Luke chapter 24. Verse 27. Somebody read that. As I recall, this is now after the resurrection. I believe it's the road to Emmaus. What does Jesus, what's said there in Luke chapter 24, verse 27? Somebody please read that.
And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself.
Okay, he's walking with these two individuals, and he starts expounding the scriptures. How the scriptures spoke about him. Okay. Let's look over to John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47. Let me read you these. And I'm going to read them from the NASB. For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Moses wrote about me. John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Before Abraham was born, I am. How did the Pharisees react to that? You recall?
That's blasphemy.
Blasphemy. They were ready to stone him. Because I'm sure they were thinking of Moses and the burning bush. Claiming to be God. We can see that Jesus can be found in the Old Testament because he says, you know, it speaks a lot about me. Now, they may be fleeting glimpses of him and what he was going to accomplish. But the question still is, does he appear in the Old Testament in physical form? That's the question. Let me share with you an article. I'm just going to share parts of this article. Written by a man by the name of Tim Chaffee, who wrote this in January of 2012. He wrote it for an organization and a publication called Answers in Genesis. Ever hear of that group? Yeah. Concerning these, he writes, many theologians refer to the appearances of God in these passages and others like them as theophanies. Comes from two Greek words. Theos means God, and the last part of it means appearance, or Christophanies, or which mean appearances of God or appearances of Christ. The Old Testament mentions the angel of the Lord on several occasions. Christians generally agree that the above passages, ones we've been reading, and many others that mention the angel of the Lord are appearances of the pre-incarnate Christ. That's Christ before he came in the flesh. If you look at some of these characteristics of this angel of the Lord, he's identified as God. Genesis chapter 22, verse 16, Judges chapter 6, verse 11, 14, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8. He performed miracles. You see that in Judges chapter 6, verse 21, and Judges 13, verse 20. Gideon and Manoah thought they would die because they saw the angel of the Lord face to face. See that in Judges chapter 22, 13, 22. Judges 13, 18, and Isaiah, Judges 13, 18 identify him with the name as Wonderful. Where else do we see that name for God? His name shall be called Wonderful, from Isaiah. Now, angels every so often we see do perform miracles. But there are examples we've looked at that the angel of the Lord cannot be viewed as a normal angel, whatever a normal angel is. He's different, very different. He's identified as God. He accepts worship like we saw there with Joshua. At least two people saw him and thought they would die after seeing him face to face. These attributes are also identified or given to God. Now, if you want it, I got copies of this article that he wrote. It's excellent. It is excellent. So, is it possible for Jesus Christ to appear in physical form in the Old Testament? Why?
Is it possible?
Yeah, I gave you the clue.
It was God.
Yeah. Is God bound by time? No. God, this is one of those mysteries we can't really explain. We cannot explain it.
The first verse in John tells us that he was with God in the beginning.
Yeah.
So why couldn't he have?
Yeah. In the beginning was the Word. Yeah. We know that. Here's how some try to get around this. This is interesting. Some try to sidestep this whole thing by claiming that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. For example, ever hear of a gentleman by the name of Charles Russell? Anybody ever hear of that name? Sure you have. Sure you have. You just don't know you have. Charles, is it Russell? The founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses. See, you've heard of him indirectly. He used the notion that Jesus and Michael are the same individual to claim that Jesus is a created being rather than the creator of all beings. That's how somebody tried to sidestep it. Now, I said this article, I'm going to pass out if you want it, is written by so-and-so for Answers in Genesis. What do you know about Answers in Genesis?
They're liberal. I'm just teasing.
Be careful what you say. Some folks might believe you.
Record that out of the recording.
Ever hear of the Creation Museum? That's part of Answers in Genesis. The Ark Encounter. Same group. Esther and I had the privilege of being down at the Ark Encounter on Wednesday. And if you haven't been there, be prepared to see something that's big. It is huge. It is very impressive.
Is it worth going to see?
Pardon?
People need to know, is it worth going to see?
If you're going to go see it, I personally would recommend you go to the Creation Museum first and then the Ark. That's the way I would do it. Unless you've been to the Creation Museum before. But it is big. And don't be surprised if ad lib's not really the right word, but for example, when you tour the Ark, you'll see figures representative doing things, and they've got names on them, like what's Noah's wife's name? And we're not told in Scripture, but they have a name for her. Don't let that get you upset.
They took some liberties.
Yeah. And there are things that, you know, tend to help you understand a lot. But there is a sign at the very beginning that warns you about that. They did take some liberties, but they help you understand it.
Emily said, like the Christmas story, all the books we read, they don't know half the stuff that are in those stories, so, are actually true.
Here's an interesting side note. The only places we find the angel of the Lord referenced is in the Old Testament. There is no reference to the angel of the Lord in the New Testament. Just interesting.
I think it's important to think that Jesus was active throughout our history, throughout the Old Testament. I mean, he wasn't just active in the beginning and then just sat there and chillaxed all the way up until he was born as a human, you know.
Well,
and he's active throughout all time.
You go back to Genesis, you go back to the first chapter. What does God say about the creation? Let us create. Colossians, the same thing. Everything was created by Christ. He's not just sitting there twiddling his thumbs, waiting to appear.
And same with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's all three of them. Just is important.
I just read a book. It's about the size of our bulletin and width and height, but it's about yay thick. And the whole thrust of the book is how the doctrines you and I take for granted came into being accepted and taught. And that was one of them, was on the Holy Spirit. I'm reading one right now that I've kind of set down for a while. Ever hear of a man by the name of Augustine? Bishop Augustine, Bishop of Hippo? Reading his stuff, Ray's over here has got a smile. You must have tried to read that, or you must have had to read some of that.
Yeah.
His sentences are paragraphs long. My colon's all over the place. It is difficult to read, but I'll tell you, it's deep. It makes you think. And the one I'm reading right now is on the Trinity. And it's another book. You know, about, yeah, I think it's 500, 600 pages long. It takes forever to read. You read something and you go back and have to read the thing again. He's very, very precise. He doesn't use a term someplace and then assume you remember what that term or word meant. He repeats what it meant. Any thoughts you might have?
I love what Pastor David just said about the Lord being active throughout all of history. That's very significant.
Yeah, it's easy for us to think once he appeared, that's when he became active. But he was there all the time. All the time. Okay. Oh, I gotta go to my daughter's store and take stuff down. Okay, if you want a copy, I got a copy of this. But Sherry, would you close with a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we are learning so much about you in our study of angels. And we thank you that the Lord Jesus presented himself to mankind before he was born as a baby. That's significant to us, Lord, to know that he was part of our history as well. Thank you so much for Rick's preparation and all the work that he's put into this and the studies that he does, Lord. It's a blessing to us that he is sharing these things and has put this all together. We thank you, Lord, for time to spend in the scriptures and to see you in all of these wonderful verses. We look ahead now to the morning service and pray that you will bless us with the word. We pray for the pastor to be strong this morning, Lord, and to speak on your behalf. We thank you for him and for Pastor David as well as they minister for you and to you in this place. We thank you for the blessing that they are to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. In Christ's name. Amen.